Today I will be bringing three key points from the book of Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. The first point is the vertical reconciliation between us and God. The second point is the horizontal reconciliation between one another. And the third point is that we are all family in Christ. But before I start, I would like to just give you a quick introduction about myself. Well, again, my name is Keong Chan. I'm originally from Malaysia. I was born in Malaysia. And Malaysia, as a lot of you probably know, is a multi-racial, multi-religious, and multilingual country. The main group of people in Malaysia are the Malays, the Chinese, Indians, and we also have a group of the indigenous tribal people, and that composed of Malaysia. When we were growing up in Malaysia, we just loved a lot of things about it, but one particular thing that I like a lot is the public holidays. Because every ethnic group celebration or festival, we have a public holiday. So that's just nice for people growing up and students and workers. So for me as a Chinese, the main festival that we celebrate will be things like Chinese New Year, the Mid-Autumn Festival, the Hungry Ghost. Well, Hungry Ghost is not very different from the Halloween that we have here. Minus the candies, you know, that's the Hungry Ghost for us. So then, in Chinese, we have a lot of gods that we worship to. We have the kitchen god, we have prosperity god, we have a longevity god. For the Malays, in Malaysia, they are compulsory to be Muslim. So you're born into the religion in Malaysia. So for the Muslim, they will celebrate Hari Raya, which is the end of Ramadan, or the Hari Raya Haji, which is the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca. And their God is Allah. So that's the God that they worship to. While our Indian friends, they will celebrate Thaipusam, Deepawali. And for Indians, there are a lot of gods that they worship to. So that's how the landscape of Malaysia is. But Christmas is also a holiday in Malaysia. Who celebrate Christmas then? So when we were growing up, we didn't know that. We didn't know that everyone celebrate Christmas. For us, Christmas is a Western celebration. It's the white people festival. That's what in our mind growing up, we say, all right, you know, you look at the postcard or the greeting cards. It's all with that snow and, you know. So with that, Jesus then is a white man religion. I went to a mission school as a child, and a lot of the priests coming in, they are white men. So naturally, you know, my worldview is very biased. Even you walk into a certain school, they have this picture of Jesus. Jesus had blonde hair, beard, and that beautiful blue eyes. So that has really put that blockage, the stumbling block that is above me. God, which is Jesus, is not for me because I'm Chinese. Chinese supposed to be worshiping a Chinese God. If we come to Christ, meaning that we are turning our back on our heritage, we are turning our back on our culture. So that was one of the huge stumbling block for me. That worldview created this thick wall between me and God. Then at age 17, I had the opportunity to further my study to California, United States. And I went to one of the number one party school in the whole US. So when we are there, it's basically freedom and just fun. Who needs God when you are in college? And from there on, After graduation, I started working in Silicon Valley, which is San Jose in the United States. So that was early 90s when I started work, and that's the time when the technology boom or the high-tech boom is happening. And again, that time, as Pastor Ray have mentioned last week, I, at the time, is totally following the way of the world. It's all about making a name for yourself. It's all about making more money. So that is continue to just heap up more and more of this stumbling block for me to come to Christ. So when I read the verse today, especially verse 12, when we were talking about, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God. I identify with what Paul is saying about the Gentiles and also about myself. I'm spiritually dead. No hope, no God. Following the way of the world. That was me. I have this vertical wall as I draw there that is between me and God. So that is the condition that I was in. Then my company in California decided to expand our business. So we choose Malaysia to start up our new factories because of the tax-free and as well as the cheaper labor costs and whatnot. So we decided to choose Malaysia. And the company sent me back to Malaysia. But this time around, they sent me to another part of Malaysia, which is East Malaysia, in a state called Sarawak. Sarawak is a very interesting state in Malaysia. Sarawak is the only state in Malaysia that have more Christian than Muslim. We have 42% of the population are Christian. So when I was there, I start realizing there are a lot of Christians look like me. Black hair, you know, Asian. So go, wow. Then slowly, God start dismantling the wall, brick by brick. And God start revealing more of himself to me. I start realizing Jesus is not from the West. Neither he's from the East. He's from the Middle East. So I go, wow. So as she was saying, Jesus did not come just for one group or one ethnic people, but he came for entire humanity. So that really have changed my worldview towards Christianity. The stumbling blocks start coming down. But what really helps me a lot is as I start knowing more and more and becoming friends with more Christian, their prayers and their love for me and their acceptance, that is the one that have really moved me closer and closer to God. I'm so thankful to God this morning that so many of my friends that did not give up on me. Despite my arrogance, despite my hostility towards Christianity, they pray for me. For years, they are praying for me. So with that, I encourage you this morning, there must be someone in your mind now, even right now, you think about someone that is far away from God, that is separated from God. Have that mind, have that person in your mind. Pray for him. Don't give up. Don't give up praying. Because one day we will see, just like me, I'm united with Christ Jesus again. I was far away from God, but now Jesus has brought me near to him through his blood. So God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, have broken down the vertical wall and brought me near to him. And through Jesus, I have been reconciled to God, and this reconciliation has brought me peace. A peace that I never really understand before. But this peace that God has given me have really changed, transformed, which is still happening now. I'm still a work in progress. They've given me that peace. And I pray today as we continue our service, just have that person in mind, that pray for this person, that peace will come upon him or her. In today's passage, Paul not only talk about the vertical wall, but he's also talking about the horizontal wall. And that horizontal wall that Paul is talking about is between the Gentiles and the Jews. Jews, as you know, they are so-called the chosen people of God, the privileged people under the one true God, while the Gentiles, we are the doomed people, without hope, without God. So that's how the Jews see Jews and Gentiles. In verse 11, you almost can sense that superiority of the Jews when they call the Gentiles the uncircumcised. Because the word uncircumcised is not a very friendly term. It's a marker that you were outside of God's people. And then in verse 14, Paul continued to say that there's a barrier. There's a dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. And commentators believe what Paul is saying is the wall that separated the Jews from the Gentiles in the Old Testament temple in Jerusalem. So I put out this diagram here. So in the heart of Jerusalem, there will be this temple. That in the temple, you will see the place called the Holy Place. And that is a place where supposedly God's presence is in that place. And even in that holy place, you have different chambers. If you look at, there's a part called Holy of Holies. So that's where God resides. And there's a thick veil or curtain that's separating God from the priest. And after the temple, you will see the Israelites' courtyard. And that courtyard is only for Jewish circumcised men. And after that courtyard, you have the women's courtyard. And again, that's only for Jews. Then you see the wall that separates the Gentiles from the Israelites, from the Jews. So on the wall, there will be warning signs. Do not enter. You'll be killed if you come in. So now imagine this worship space here. The holy place, which is the stage. Then you have this veil, a tall veil that will be separating the Holy of Holies from the place of holies. And the Holy of Holies, only the priest can go in once a year. So for here, Ray will be able to go in only once a year. And then this particular area here will have another curtain separating the Israelite man from the priest. And this particular space that you're sitting now is only for the men. The women folks have to be in the kitchen area, separated by another wall. Then all of us, the outsiders and the non-believers, we will be outside the door. And there'll be a sign on the door saying that Christian only. No trespassing. Don't come in. You are not welcome. Violators coming in will be beaten and they'll be persecuted. A lot of times I kind of think to myself, does outsider look at church like that? I like what Ray was talking about last week when he mentioned the painting, the Van Gogh's painting, the church with no doors, just barriers. Just barriers. It's not a very welcoming place. And that is not what it's all about. Because this dividing walls of hostility separating the Jews from the Gentiles, the women from the men from the priests, and priests to God, was destroyed. At the final moment of Jesus' life on the cross, we know Jesus, with a loud cry, he breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. That tearing of the curtain of the veil at the moment of Jesus' death dramatically symbolized that his sacrifice, the shedding of his own blood, was sufficient atonement for our sins. It signified that now the way to the Holy of Holies was open to all people, for all time, for Jews, for Gentiles. There is now neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for now all of us are in Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people. When his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with his commandments and regulations. He made peace. He made peace. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. And we are a new humanity out of two. So if you look at the cross, there's a vertical reconciliation between humanity and God. And then we have a horizontal reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles, and that have brought peace. Horizontal reconciliation always bring peace. And this reminded me of a story when I was in Sarawak. Sarawak used to be known as the land of the headhunters. And during the 1800s, mid-1900s, there's a lot of hostility happening in Sarawak. There are many tribes in Sarawak. The main tribes are the Ibans, the Dayak, the Orang Ulu. And for a young man to become a man or to a warrior, so during the tribal war, they managed to capture the enemy and chop off their head. And that head will be their trophy. If the head of the person is a fearless warrior, then this head will bring more power to the longhouses. So that is the belief then. When we were there in Sarawak, we spent a lot of time with a tribe called the Kelabit. The Kelabits, they live in the highland of Barrio. My family and I, Kim and our three girls, we were actually adopted by the headman or the penghulu of the place. My adopted father, the headman, love telling me stories about how they come to Christ, and a lot of those stories are just incredible. One of them that he told me one story is about when they came to Christ, they wanted to get rid of all their artifacts, the worship artifacts. And the skull, the shrunken skull, is one of their prized possession. So now, this headman, he was a young man then. He was tasked to throw away all those skulls. So not so different from this guy here that is holding the skulls. These are the heads, the shrunken heads. So he was tasked to bring this skull, and you need to dispose it in the at a certain place. And that place is a cliff of a mountain. So this place where they are staying, the longhouse to the cliff, is a few days' walk in thick jungle. And during the time, there's no real roads or path. So you need to be carrying those cows and walk the jungle path. It really reminds me of the story or the movie, The Lord of the Rings. Frodo have to dispose of that ring. So this is my friend here, Henry Jala, will be carrying the skull. So he'll be walking too. And he'll be afraid because he never know what's going to happen. Will the evil one come and attack me? So finally, he reached the edge. Look down. He's going to do it. Toss all the shrunken skull into the cliff. And he's waiting. Waiting. He says something bad is going to happen. Nothing bad happened. Because he knows that the God that he serves is above all principalities, above all the myth that they were so afraid of. But one thing did happen when he tossed the skull into the cliff. What happened is peace. The shalom peace of God came upon the village. Through prayer, repentance, communal repentance, they start mending walls. They start removing walls with each other, with the enemy tribes. So all those walls start coming down and peace come upon the place. And that peace continued on until about 1973. The Calabit people have this major revival. They call it the Barrio Revival. That is in 1973. And that Barrio Revival is the impetus that started a church called Sidang Injil Borneo, or the Borneo Evangelical Church. And that church, SIB, we call it in Malaysia, is one of the fastest growing and biggest single Protestant denomination in Malaysia. And that peace that brought to the community as well as to the rest of the tribal community in Sarawak. Now, when you go to Sarawak, you can go walk into SIB church, you see Chinese, you see Kelabits, you see the Ibans, you see all ethnic group coming together to worship one God. They come together as family. This is precisely what Paul is exhorting us to remember. That we, like the Gentiles, were once far away from God, outside of His chosen people, hopeless and godless, spiritually dead. But Jesus on the cross, shedding His blood, He has reconciled us to God. The curtain, the veil, is removed. We now can come boldly in Jesus' righteousness before our God. And that brought peace. At the same time, Jesus also broken the walls between the Jews and the Gentiles. And that hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles are now joined together as one new people. And this new people of God, the fellowship of believers, is founded upon the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. So in Him, the whole building now, the church, is joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, we too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. So today, in Christ, we are being grown together into this holy temple of God, the very dwelling place of God. Together, we are one. We are one in Him, and we are one as a family. So today, before I end, I would like to have an opportunity for all of us to respond to the message. As I mentioned earlier, there's someone, that person that you have in mind, your loved one, your brother or sister, or your parents, that they are far away from God. commit to pray for this person. Commit to pray that the vertical wall will be broken, that the reconciliation with our God will happen. And the second thing that I would like you to respond is the horizontal wall. We live in a very messy and fallen world. Perhaps some of us may have built up some wall of hostility with someone. And this has really disturbed our peace. And today, I encourage you to resolve it in your heart. Through the blood of Christ, we know that we can ask God to help you and help me and give us courage and the wisdom to make peace with that person. Especially if this person is a fellow believer. Because in Christ, we are family. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us. Indeed, your mercy, your grace is new every single morning. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that he reconciled every one of us back to you. We thank you, Jesus, that through your blood, that we can come to the Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you also have broken the walls between among ourselves. So, Lord, we pray that as we grow together as one family, as your people, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you lead and you guide in everything that we do. And Lord, indeed, we want to walk as one family in your name. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.